Welcome in, District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Jacobson, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm feeling great. I actually was able to sleep in a little bit, but it's been interesting.
Hopefully when you got back here, not on the way back driving.
That's exactly right.
Cruise control only regulates speed, Mike.
I've been told that.
It was a busy week in the session last week, and you guys were burning the midnight oil, to be quite honest, going very well into the evening hours.
Yeah, we were. As you know, we work four-day work weeks, and so we either start on Tuesday, which we will this week. We'll go Tuesday through Friday. Otherwise, we're Monday through Thursday. We're running late hours. The first three days, and then the fourth day, we work through lunch, and then we try to adjourn around 3 or 3:30.
It was busy last week, and learned a new term in the legislature that I've not heard before with Senator Erdman last week. Germaneness brought to the attention of the floor.
Germaneness.
Yes.
He and I both had a conversation before he called the attention to the chair that I've often wondered that same question. Although the chair was overruled on the germaneness question, I still think that Senator Erdman's point was correct, that we brought in an amendment to a bill that had absolutely nothing to do with that particular bill. And that's what we're going to run into as we get through the end of this 60-day session, is everybody's bill who didn't make it to the floor, they're trying to amend them into other bills.
Sure.
and try to get them to the finish line. And so we're going to see more of that. And I think a lot of it, and the reason for the overruling of the chair was, I think we've allowed the rules. It's a little bit like reffing a basketball game. You know, it may be a foul in some other game, but when you start early and allowing them to play, then you probably need to let them play through the whole thing. And I think early on in the session, they kind of allowed a little bit of that. So I think the sense was, well, let's continue to allow it through the session.
I like that analogy, too, and I think that's really accurate. I don't think there's a better way to describe it.
I think I see a new bill sometime in the future about making it germane to the subject.
Yeah, could be. But
well, you know, Ernie used to do that a lot.
Oh, good old Senator.
And Cooper. You know, when he'd out there and he'd sing and do different things and read, and the point that was made was, well, if he comes at the end and says something, anything, that ties it back to the actual amendment or the bill that's being discussed, then it was germane. And so that's kind of where some of this got established.
Interesting. Senator Chambers.
He set a lot of bars in there.
Yes, he did.
And he left people a lot of bad habits. A lot of people learned some bad habits from his time there.
Yeah, you can say that again. Senator Jacobson, I think it was late last week, Senator Lowe's proposal regarding health care advanced. And on the legislative floor, you talked a little bit about how your history being on the board of directors for the hospital with Great Plains Health kind of had impacted that. And this is a great proposal, too, from Senator Lowe for all of the western end of the state.
It is. I think that there's a lot of challenges out there that we're having to deal with today. I know most of you are aware of the fact that up in Mullen they had to close their nursing home.
Right.
That won't be the only one, and I'm very concerned about that. That's a very high priority, and I think we always have to step back and look at all these problems from a broader standpoint. It's not isolated to just a nursing home. It really speaks to healthcare providers, how many are available, how are we getting them trained, and so we've got to kind of go back to the root cause of some of these problems, and some of it goes back to the root cause of why do we have a nursing shortage. Part of that is we've got to figure out how to get more of them into nursing schools. We've got to utilize our community colleges to, as we are doing here, to attract more nurses into the profession. We've got to get them paid correctly. That's a big part of it. Probably the biggest problem right now is having enough practitioners, and that is a function of getting them trained and getting them paid properly. And then the other problem we've got is reimbursement rates, and that's a separate issue, but it all fits together. And many of my floor speeches have been about that very issue, that let's don't look at any of these in isolation. Let's look at the broader picture, and let's try to solve the entire problem.
And Senator Jacobson also wanted to bring up last week in the legislative session, a lot of debate around the budget, obviously. And with that being said, a lot of debate around prison corrections departments. And that was brought up, too, at the candidate debate that you participated in with your opponents on the ballot Saturday evening. And I heard you and Rick joking about it before I came in the studio about your colleague, Senator Lathrop. And this has been his cause in a lot of ways.
Senator Lathrop was had been term limited out before, sat out 4 years, came back, and now he's about to end his first four-year term, has decided not to run again. So this is his last hurrah. Senator Lathrop is an attorney. He's a defense attorney, and he's someone who's passionate about prison reform and about sentencing reform. Mm-hmm. I would tell you that the governor and I probably are on a little bit different page than Senator Lathrop in terms of what we think are positive reforms. I have worked with all the local law enforcement and others to really work through the issues, and I think we're all on the same page that there are a few pieces of the reform we could probably live with. But there's really three or four non-starters for us. And Lathrop knows that this is his last hurrah, so he's pushing for everything. I think what we've been sensing is he's tried to slow down the budget bill, and more specifically, he's trying to slow down the ARPA bill, which is 1014. ARPA bill is the bill that includes the sustainable beef funding. So I'm really pushing to get that across the finish line. At the same time, I'm not interested in supporting LB 920 or LB 921, and which are both Lathrop's bills. I did hear from a colleague over the weekend that it looks like there may be a deal getting cut where Lathrop's going to maybe take what's available for reforms and call it a day, because I think he knows he doesn't have the votes for 920, and I think he also knows we probably have the votes for 1014 with or without his 920 bill. So I think that's how deals get done down there.
And you said, too, that Senator Lathrop's being met like 80% of the way. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and of course the opponents that would, when we say that, is that, well, you know, 80% was the easy 80%, and there's really no meat on that bone. And, well, that's probably one of the reasons why we're willing to roll over on the 80%. But when you start thinking about, and let me just tell you, the issues that are really non-negotiable for us is they want to be able to release geriatric prisoners. Okay, now what's a geriatric prisoner? Well, there was a prisoner who was released who had been involved in child sexual assault, was 68 years old. They said, well, he's at a point now, he's not going to be harmed anybody. He was released several years ago and reoffended. Okay, so the fact that someone's older doesn't mean that they're not going to reoffend. If they've been put in prison for horrible crimes, they probably need to stay there. And so that's one of the issues that they want. That's a non-starter. I would also tell you they want to get rid of mandatory minimums. When you start looking at what's going on at the federal level and you start looking at the problems with prosecution and some of the judges that are using a lot of discretion, there's a reason mandatory minimums came into play to begin with, because we were not seeing the kind of sentencing right that needed to be done. So why would we lift on that today? And the other thing would be there's a concern about drug offenders, multiple, like drug dealers in particular, that they want to lighten the sentences, and they want to make it a misdemeanor rather than a felony. I can't even begin to imagine that to be the case. So,
well, and the thing that gets me too, Senator Jacobson, is it's not a one-size-fits-all too. I mean, just because one prisoner is reformed and could be a functioning member of society again doesn't mean that another is.
Well, and that's the point. That's the purpose of the parole board. They can look at those cases and make those determinations. But to go out and put in our laws that this is the way it's going to work and everyone gets treated this way, I think is a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the concern. And I think, again, Lathrop wants it all. And I don't think he's going to get all. Well, I know he's not going to get all. The votes just simply aren't there to give him everything. So he's trying to hold up 1014, and that's why he's filibustered all of the budget bills, which finally got passed. Mm-hmm. And now he will filibuster 1014, and of course he'll filibuster 773.
And in holding up the ARPA bill, too, he's potentially damaging District 42.
Well, he could, but the bigger question, the bigger thing, and what I take a lot of solace in, is there are far too many other districts out there that have a dog in the fight in ARPA bill.
Sure.
And so that's what's going to keep us in place, and that's going to keep our votes there, because North Omaha, South Omaha, East Omaha, there's massive amounts of money coming to them in the ARPA bill. At the end of the day, their senators are going to vote to get the funding that they need, just as I'm going to vote for 1014 to get us the sustainable beef funding and the other funding out here.
There's some wolves involved in that, too, along with yourself. A guy like Justin Wayne, for example, he's not going to stand by and let something like that happen either. So.
He's not. Justin's a very smart guy. He and I have a very good relationship, as he does with most people in the legislature. I like Justin because Justin's a deal maker. I mean, he's someone who drives a hard bargain. But at the end of the day, he's a pragmatist, and he's one who's going to recognize what I need to do to get to the finish line. He'll work with others. He'll play ball. He's helped us on several votes when we've needed that 33rd vote. Justin's been a fairly reliable person to step up and do the right thing. And so, but he's also working hard for North Omaha, and I get that.
Sure.
And Omaha's going to get a lot of money out
that's
of all of
them. His constituency. That's a good.
Exactly.
That's a good politician.
He's doing what he should do.
Yeah, he does a good job of balancing. You know that he loves North Omaha. He represents his district well, but he's open to listening to what's going to be best for the rest of the state too.
Exactly. And he and I have had several conversations. I've told him. I said, you know, Justin, the problems that you have in North Omaha aren't a lot dissimilar to some of the problems we have here right here in North Platte.
Mm-hmm.
And he agrees. And so he understands that some of the problems you've got in Omaha are also happening in rural Nebraska. And so let's just don't be funneling all these money for programs in North Omaha and forget that rural Nebraska doesn't have some same issues and needs the same kind of funding.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. And Senator Jacobson, with the budget bill being passed as well, we know there's some funding for the Perkins County Canal Project. And I was listening to some debate last week from one of your favorite colleagues, Michaela Cavanaugh. She was talking about the lake that's going to be between Lincoln and Omaha, and how she feels that this is going to hurt tourism out in the western end of the state. And I guess I maybe see a little bit of the argument, but I really don't think it's going to have much of an impact tourism-wise.
No, I don't either. I think if you look at Lake McConaughey, the bulk of the tourism with Lake McConaughey are people coming from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at the Star Wars project, which would be the lake between Lincoln and Omaha, I think Senator Hilkeman probably said it best in a floor speech here, 10 days ago, where he talked about the possibilities of things. Imagine if we would have built Epley Airport between Lincoln and Omaha. And you start looking at the growth between Lincoln and Omaha, and you build that lake there, and you look at the recreational opportunities. There'll be a lot of housing built around there. This could be really a big boom for Nebraska when you start looking at people that are going to Iowa. The people on that end of the state are not coming to Lake McConaughey necessarily. They're going east.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Most of them don't know that there's anything west of York.
Well, once they get to York, they figure they're starting to drive into Wyoming at that point.
The world's dropped off at that point.
I keep giving them geography lessons every time I do every
Go
other floor
it.
Speech. Yes.
I do that with the game in parks quite a bit when they start talking about what they're doing.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you wanted to bring up from the legislative session a week ago?
Well, last week, again, was a really busy week. I was really glad to see us get across the finish line on the budget bills. The really great news was the rail park. And I could tell you stories. I would need a couple hours to tell you all of the things that happened during the budget bill. And if I've been very close contact with Gary Pearson along the way. Gary's very much, I was giving him information in real time,
which was a little nerve-wracking for Gary at some times, I'm sure.
It was, because I was keeping him up to speed in real time, where we had Grand Island and Fremont really trying to do an end-around on us.
Yes. I was talking to Gary about that at the grand opening for McNews Unlimited, and you were still in Lincoln and still in session, I think,
yes.
At the time of that, but Gary and I were talking about that. I can't believe what Grand Island and Fremont were trying to do.
They had the audacity to, one of their lobbyists, who I don't know what he was thinking of, wanted to know whether I could help them with an amendment to the 788, which was rolled into the ARPA bill rolled into the budget bill for the rail park, that would take the first come, first serve rules out of it and basically turn all the funding over to DED to make a decision as to where it ought to be funded.
Could you say no quick enough, Senator?
I the look on my face probably was all they needed to see. And I made it pretty clear to them that there was no way that was going to happen. And I was kind of glad they shared that with me, because I knew exactly who I needed to go to shut it down. I sit right next to the speaker have made a lot of friends with the colleagues in the legislature. So I made my rounds with enough senators to know that there was no way they could get 25 votes. And so I thought, if you want to bring it, bring it. But there's no way you're going to take that away from us. We're not going to negotiate against ourselves.
It's ludicrous what they were trying to pull there, too. And it was an equal opportunity thing, too. Grand Island and Fremont could have been the first ones to the finish line just as well as we could have been.
Let me be abundantly clear. There were a group of us led by Gary Pearson who met with the UP Railroad back about 3 years ago when they made changes with their leadership and when they started making changes out here at the railroad. And we were very concerned about the impact it was going to have on our railroad employment. And so we started making a deal with them that said, look, if you are going to absolutely do this, then we want access to that rail yard. We want to be able to get a spur. We want to be able to build a rail park here. We want to be able to bring industry in here and displace so that those displaced railroad workers would have quality jobs yet to keep them here in North Platte. So that's really when this rail park idea got started. And then, of course, as we saw these ARPA dollars coming together, Gary Pearson worked with Senator Groney to put together this LB 788. And one of the things that Senator Groney had put into that legislation was that when it came to applying for the dollars, it would be first come, first serve, because he knew and we knew that North Platte already had their rail park designed. We were way ahead of everybody else, and we knew that we could be in first place. Mm-hmm. So that's the way the bill was drafted. I also want to mention that when it came to the initial LB 40, which was the original bill to do the Rail Park Act, that the North Platte Chamber was the only testifier of all the chambers involved. So all these others came later.
And we had a further distance to go, mind you, as well.
And we had a further distance to go. And I would also tell you what was really amazing was, and what really had me ticked off, was there was a lobbyist there that was trying to tell me that, well, Grand Island's got a project ready to go, and North Platte still doesn't have their project ready. And it was like, so I took about 2 minutes to explain to him that you've got it backwards.
Yeah.
And Senator Brewer, as you remember, was the guy who he picked it.
There's the educator coming out again. He educated that individual.
Yes, I did. Senator Brewer, of course, picked up the bill. And so I caught him after I learned of all this. And he said, you know, Mike, he said, they're telling my staffer that same thing. And I said, Senator, that is absolutely backwards. He said, Mike, that's what I thought. Thanks for keeping me up to speed. And he said, no, we're not going to let them do that. And so it just meant running the traps with some other senators who I've really gotten to be really close with. And it's amazing what you can get done when there's people you can work with and you know and you can be reasonable. We can get a lot done, and I think that's helped us get these to the finish line.
Senator Jacobson, I think some of the debate early on in this week's going to be discussing potentially overriding a veto that the governor put into place late last week.
Correct. The governor, there was the emergency housing money. This is money coming from the federal government. The governor had decided early on that he wasn't going to accept the additional dollars. The reason he's not is for twofold. Number one, there are still dollars in the fund that have gone unused at this point, and it's not and he doesn't anticipate that we will need more than what we already have in the fund. So that was the beginning of it. The second part of it was he was concerned, how much longer are we going to continue to subsidize housing and potentially give incentives for people to not go back to work, as we found earlier with the unemployment addition, which he decided to cut off earlier, as did some of the other conservative governors across the country. So that was really his basis. And so the push on the bill was for the senator, for the legislature to vote to compel the governor to take the money. I voted against that. The bill did get enough votes to pass, but not enough to override the veto. So the governor has vetoed the bill, and now they're coming back. And it didn't pass with the E clause, so that already cut him off on being able to get it done. But now they're going to come back and try to get a veto override. Normally what happens when you have a veto, if you voted for the bill to begin with but didn't, you're probably going to rethink whether or not you want to also vote to override the governor. So they'll probably lose some votes. So I do not see that veto being overridden.
Do they need 30 or 33?
They need 30 for a veto override.
Okay. And they only had, what was it, 26?
They had 26, then they had some not present not voting. And again, we've talked about that before. Present not voting means no, but we only count yes votes down there. So if you're present not voting, you're going to need to get, you know, really five of those individuals to vote to override the governor. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, unlikely. Anything else coming up this week in the legislature that you wanted to mention, Senator?
Well, I just mentioned two or three things. We are going to get a hearing this week. We'll go to second round debate on LB 873, which is the new tax. This would be the tax reduction bill. And this is a big deal. This is going to be, once we get this passed, this is going to be $900 million annually once we get this fully up in 3 years. So this is a massive tax reduction for Nebraska citizens, starting with and headlined with what was part of this bill was 825, which is a Social Security income tax phase out.
Senator Lindstrom's
correct.
Proposal.
This would been originally been set up a phased out over 10 years. Now, if this passes, it'll be phased out over 5 years, 20% a year. So it's, we're accelerating that. We're also reducing the top corporate income tax rate and top personal income tax rate by one full percentage point from 684 to 584. And then the other thing we're doing is we're ensuring that the full property, basically it's an income tax credit that's based on the amount of property tax that you're paying to your local school district, okay, with an added little twist that we're also going to add the property taxes you're paying that are associated with your community college. So the community college and the public school, this year you were receiving 25% of what you paid in property taxes. It's coming back as an income tax refund as opposed to it, but it's being based on your property or what you paid for property taxes.
Okay.
So it's real property tax relief coming through an income tax credit. We're going to be moving out to the second round. We're going to debate 920, which is what, of course, is Lathrop's criminal justice bill. You can bet that that will be filibustered unless there's some deal that got worked. And then we're also going to open up LB 264CA, which is Senator Erdman's EPIC tax, and that will be debated first round, and I'm sure that will be very lively debate as well. Particularly when you look at those that are really fully anti-taxes. On Wednesday, we're going to be debating 933, that would be the heartbeat bill, the abortion bill.
Senator Albright's proposal?
That would be Senator Joni Albright's bill, and I am a co-sponsor on that bill. I've testified when on the poll motion to pull it. Obviously, I'll be giving testimony again in this round. I hope we don't run out of time. I know this will be filibustered, but this will probably be what we'll talk about most of Wednesday. And this is first round debate. You can do 8 hours filibuster on first round, 4 hours on second round, and then 2 hours on final reading. I think the votes may be there, but we're going to need 33 votes.
Senator Jacobson, if anybody in the 42nd Legislative District wants to get in contact with you or a member of your staff to discuss any state or district news, how can they do so?
Just you can email me or call the staff. I've got the same staff that Senator Groney had, and it's mjacobson@leg.ne.gov is the email address, or call the office down there. Christina and Joe are down there, and they and I also get the emails in real time. I appreciate everyone who's been emailing me, particularly when you're doing it real time. When we're in the middle of a debate, I'm getting a lot of emails on both sides of issues, and I think people are finding that I'm also responding to their emails in real time. And when you're in the middle of a filibuster, you got some time, and that's so. If you look and see me on TV, and you say, "Why is he on his computer?" Well, he's probably responding to emails from constituents.
Yeah, it's work. It's work, nonetheless. Yeah. So
it is.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again next Monday. Best of luck this week, and most importantly, safe travels.
Thank you very much.